The problem in northeast Nigeria is that the Boko Haram insurgency has displaced over 2.2 million persons, and some of the displacement is also due to the counter-insurgency activity by the military. And the crisis is unfolding now because of the newly recovered areas by the military and the people who have come out of those areas held by Boko Haram. And it wasn't actually, I think, known previously.
So you're saying that we're only starting to get a grip on the gravity of the extent of the crisis. What does that mean? How are people, what is their condition in these reclaimed areas?
Their condition is very bad because part of the tactics to reclaim the area was cutting off supplies to Boko Haram in terms of food, in terms of arms, basic supplies. And so the people who came out of those areas are severely malnourished as a result, close to the point of starvation for most of them, including children. And I think that the scale of the crisis was not realized. There was no access in those areas. And I think now both the international community and the Nigerian government are having to scale up their efforts.
And can you tell me where these people are? Are they in villages, deserted villages? Are they in camps?
Most of the people are not in the camps. They're hosted by local communities.
Who are presumably struggling already? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, of course, the communities themselves need support because they have used most of what they have, you know, to support the IDPs in the Maiduguri area in particular. I think the most hit places are Borno State, Adamawa, Yobe, and Bama itself, the town, is very hard hit.
And in those camps where civilians are getting protection and hopefully some food and psychological support, you highlight there is exploitation, however.
Yes, there is exploitation. Those reports came out very clearly. Exploitation takes many forms. You know, there are restrictions on the part of the civilians to move out of the sites or out of the camps. So if women have to move out of those places, then they are exploited. They ask for sexual favors in return. They also ask for sexual favors in relation to food. And so the food distribution system has to be one that will be in the hands of women, as is the best practice elsewhere in the world in those kinds of situations. But it is more about the protection and the way in which the humanitarian system has evolved over the years in the context of food distribution.
Who's in charge of these camps?
The Joint Civilian Task Force that is in charge of the camps, basically. And this is a task force that is drawn out of civilians who were actually linked to Boko Haram, but who left Boko Haram in order to give more information to the government in the way in which Boko Haram operates, and decided to constitute themselves into a joint force. And I think that many of the aspects of exploitation are attributed to them, although it's not them exclusively. It also has to do with the fact that so many men of a certain age group, between the ages of about 20 to 50, are actually missing from the whole area. So the social fabric of society that protects women generally as husbands, or as uncles, or as brothers, or even as children, are missing. And I think that void is being taken advantage of.
Right. Can I just ask that question to you again? Because I wasn't aware that Boko Haram former associates were looking after the camp. So I'm going to put the question to you again. So can you tell me who is in charge of these camps where you say the sexual exploitation and abuse is happening of those most vulnerable people?
It is mostly what they call the Joint Civilian Task Force.
And who are they?
This task force is made up of persons who were linked to Boko Haram, but they linked themselves from Boko Haram.
Right, and so they are distinct from the government, but they have authority in these camps. And how many camps are we talking about, please?
Well, there are so many of the camps. You have official camps that are run by the government, then you have satellite camps that are not exclusively run by the government, where the civilian joint task force, and then of course you have IDPs who are hosted by communities. So you've got those three categories of arrangements that they have.
And we're talking about just a minority of the 2.2 million internally displaced people in northeastern Nigeria who are in these camps. So it sounds like a fairly desperate situation for those in these camps if they're being exploited. Maybe we should finally talk about some more positive measures that the government's doing. How is it hoping to re-establish control and also to help those who've been affected by the Boko Haram extremism and also the government's clawback of territory?
Well, they have beefed up security in the area. They have liberated a lot more areas from Boko Haram. They've established a presidential committee for the northeast under the authority of the president. They've also appointed an advisor on internally displaced persons directly linked to the office of the president. The National Disaster Management System is providing food and supplies to those people along with the UN. And the UN have provided newly constructed shelters in those areas, especially the ones that we went to. That's quite impressive, actually, that they've scaled up their activities. They have raised their level of support internally to what they call corporate level 3, which is the highest level of preparedness that the UN can give, although not internationally, but the agencies themselves have realized that this is what is actually required to deal with the humanitarian needs.
And presumably lots more funding.
Well, the funding is not that great yet. As the statement indicates, only a certain percentage, I think, has been given, and we're hoping that more will be given to the UN.